Lori Vallow learns her sentencing date. Is Brian Koberger a suspect in another homicide? The burn after reading letter. That's right. That's in the Brian Laundry Gabby Petito matter. You can't burn things, even your own property. Well, when other people are living in it, for sure. And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, everyone. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. You know the drill. Subscribe if you haven't. Like if you do. Leave me a comment and hit that little bell so you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. And remember, you can also listen to us on any of your favorite podcasting apps. And let's support the people that support Crime Talk. Go to crimetalksearch.com. Sign up for that background subscription service today. When you do, you can do as many background searches as you want on people in the United States. And so if somebody new is coming into your life, check them out. You will get information as to, well, their financial status. Do they have judgments against them? Do they have a criminal history? Are they on one of those public registries people aren't so proud about? Maybe not going to tell you about? Check them out. CrimeTalkSearch.com. Remember, you can cancel at any time. All right. Yes, I know we are in casual mode today. I am finishing up my check ride because we had some airplane issues a while ago. So I was out flying. Going to go back, do it again this afternoon and get this thing done. So let's get to the docket for today. Lori Vallow learns her sentencing date. That's right. The court has set sentencing for Lori Vallow for July 31st at 9 a.m. For those who aren't familiar, maybe the first time watching the channel, Vallow was convicted of conspiracy to commit murder and first-degree murder of her children, Joshua J.J. Vallow and Tylee Ryan. She was also found guilty of grand theft and conspiracy to commit murder as it relates to Tammy Daybell, the deceased wife of her now husband, Chad Daybell. Yes, it's complicated, and it's going to be interesting to see what the defense will put up as it relates to mitigation. Reality of it is, she's going to get life without parole. Bring it on, so to speak. The court's familiar with everything as it relates to her mental health issues. But the reality of it is, she's been convicted of three homicides. What really can you say? Not much, really. In fact, she really shouldn't say anything because assuming there will be an appeal, remember, anything you say can and will be used against you and could be counted as an admission. I always like in circumstances like this where basically the client says, yeah, I declined to say anything, so bring it on. Now, the court is going to allow us to stream the sentencing hearing. Through the court's official YouTube channel, we will bring it to you as well. Next on the docket, is Brian Koberger a suspect in another homicide? Well, the family of a missing Pennsylvania woman called police after they were alerted, basically through some internet people, that there could be a possibility that the Idaho murder suspect, Brian Koberger, was in the area at the time that the woman vanished. Now, Dana Smithers went missing on May 28th of 2022. Her remains were ultimately uncovered in a wooded area near Strodesburg on April 27th of 2023. This is roughly about 30 miles away from the Kobergers' family home. Why this is of any real significance is not that Brian Koberger has been listed as a suspect, and frankly, even if he was, we would still give him the presumption of innocence, but it is a little unusual because Brian Koberger's parents were subpoenaed before a grand jury who's actually investigating the case. Now, a grand jury is much different than just a regular investigation because people can be forced to testify under oath and they can also be forced to produce documents of any kind that are requested by the grand jury. And you have to answer the questions unless, of course, you have a Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. That's it. So it is a good tool, a grand jury is, when you really have nowhere or you're not sure where you're going. And so you got to start somewhere. Now, nobody's saying Koberger is guilty of anything, but it is unusual for, let's face it, his parents to be brought before the grand jury. And apparently he has an alibi, or somebody has stated that he has an alibi, that he likely wasn't involved in Smithers' disappearance. Could he have been in, I don't know, Washington? Idaho, perhaps? On the day that Miss Smithers went missing, her youngest daughter and the daughter's father had gone to a festival. Now, according to friends, Smithers was no longer in the relationship with the father, but they apparently were on good terms. All three of them appeared to be in good spirits before returning to Smithers' residence. That night, Smithers went to the home of a friend and a neighbor, a woman by the name of Tara Sione, who later said that she thought something may have been troubling her. Sione said that Smithers had a history of substance abuse and was smoking, something she only did if she was nervous or on edge. Now, the mother of three was last seen in Sione's Ring camera footage at about 11 p.m. She was reported missing days later, and her family said that she would never have stayed away from her youngest daughter for that amount of time. Her cell phone, wallet, and daily medication were later found at her home as well, certainly making one think that she wasn't coming back or that she left against her will. Her cause of death is still unknown. All right, the Brian Laundry Gabby Petito. Yes, the burn after reading letter. The infamous burn after reading letter, allegedly written by Roberta Laundry to her son Brian, has been released to the public by the attorney of the parents of Gabby Petito. The letter contains a reference to Brian Laundry being in jail or in needing to, quote, dispose of a body, end quote. It was found among many items by the FBI, who searched Laundry's home before Petito's body was found in Wyoming. Now, Brian Laundry was found deceased due to a self-inflicted wound on October 21st in a Florida swamp, where he fled after returning from a cross-country van trip with Gabby Petito, which didn't end well for her either. In a meandering entry in his journal found near his body, Laundry confessed to killing Gabby Petito, who, like I said, her body was found in Wyoming at the Teton National Forest back in September. Now, Laundry's return home to Florida that month alone sparked a search for Petito, and he and his parents refused to cooperate with Petito's parents about what happened to their daughter. At first, the parents of Gabby Petito were even unaware that Brian Laundry had returned home alone. Well, her parents, Joe Petito and Nicole Schmidt, have filed a lawsuit, a civil lawsuit, against Roberta and Christopher Laundry, alleging that they knew their son had killed Petito and kept it from them. The Laundries fought to keep the undated letter out of evidence in the case, but the judge handling the matter, a Judge Danielle Brewer, ruled that the letter was admissible and that Laundry's attorney handed over several copies of the letter. The letter states, "I just want you to know I will always love you, and I know you will always love me." The second page of the letter begins, "Nothing can make me stop loving you. Nothing will or could ever divide us. No matter what we do or where we go or what we say, we will always love each other." Now, sounds pretty simple, right? Nothing too nefarious about that. Now, Roberta Laundry addressed the letter to her son using his full name, Brian Christopher Laundry, and included the "burn after reading" phrase on one side of the outer folds. The other side included what appears to be a stamp of the bird seen on the cover of the first edition of the horror satire novel Lullaby, and the word "remember." Laundry is seen with a copy of the book on some of the photos that were taken on the trip with Gabby Petito. Now, Roberta Laundry has previously said that the letter was written and given to her son before he and Petito left for their road trip, and that it was to reach out to Brian while he and I were experiencing a difficult period in their relationship. The "burn after reading" reference, she said, actually referred to a book called Burn After Writing, now a series of books containing aids to journaling that Petito had given to her son. She further said that other references in the letter are to children's books that were favorites of her son as a child, The Runaway Bunny and Little Bear. Now, in court on Wednesday, the attorney for the Petitos held up copies of two of the books and said, "I have not found any reference to shovels or burying bodies in any of the books." I guess the jury is going to have to decide what the letter really meant and burn after reading. I don't know. Let me know what you think. I mean, I guess you could see if it was mailed. Should there be an envelope postmarked? or maybe he truly got it. I don't know. Let me know what you think. The Laundries just don't seem like, you know, the best of people, so to speak. I can appreciate that they were trying to help and protect their son. But on the same token, I also really just don't understand the civil lawsuits. I really believe that so many civil lawsuits are, in fact, frivolous, and they are meant to basically destroy people by having to make them hire attorneys and lose everything. And sometimes I think the courts, instead of just saying, I have to let the case go forward, should dump a lot of these cases. And this one, I just don't think that, it just doesn't make sense to me. Anyway, next on the docket. Yes, you can't burn things even if they belong to you. Now, a Minnesota landlord allegedly was blasting We Didn't Start the Fire, you know the song by Billy Joel, as he was torching his own home. The problem is there was a tenant inside. And even then, you can't really burn your own property. Your insurance company's not going to pay for it. It's called arson. And when you commit arson and somebody dies, guess what they also call that? Usually felony murder. Well, meet Travis Carlson. Maybe he should be a dumb criminal, possibly. Well, he's accused of setting his apartment building on fire in Duluth back on May 18th, and now he's been charged with first-degree arson. Police were dispatched to the 2400 block of 4th Street shortly after 4 a.m., and that they saw that the upstairs apartments were on fire as the song blared out of it. Now, Mr. Carlson is accused of using gasoline extracted from his car to accelerate the fire before knocking on the doors of his downstairs tenants to let them know that, hey, the house is on fire. He was arrested the next day after he was found with some burn injuries, probably when he was lighting the fire. Yeah, those injuries were to his arms and legs. And guess what? He is at the St. Louis County Jail in custody, being held on a $75,000 bond. Now, the tenants that were downstairs reported that they woke up about 3 a.m. to Carlson smashing glass and breaking things for about 20 minutes. Carlson then knocked on their door and told them the house is on fire. Needless to say, a good neighbor called 911 to report the incident and saw that the landlord was wearing a helmet and smashing out the windows of his own property. He said he saw Mr. Carlson under his truck with gas cans going in and out of the house before seeing a flash like a fireball coming from the apartment, probably what burned Mr. Carlson's arms. Anyway, the fire investigation found a hole had been drilled in the landlord's gas tank with a drill laying by there, and there were lids of gas cans laying on the ground by the truck as well. Several areas of the upstairs apartment had green liquid lines from the burned accelerant staining furniture, flooring, and walls, according to the probable cause affidavit. The electrical panel in the house's basement had also had several wires removed as well. The downstairs tenant was not injured in the fire, but needless to say, he is not living there any longer. Now, Mr. Carlson, what did he get for this? That's right. He got arrested, he posted bond, and he is facing up to 20 years in prison. Dumb, dumb, dumb. Thank God nobody was injured.
As a pet owner, you want to give your furry friend the very best. That's why Baked in Colorado's CBD-infused dog treats are the perfect choice. These delicious treats not only taste great, but they also provide a wide range of health benefits for your pet. CBD has been shown to have many positive effects on dogs, including reducing anxiety, alleviating pain and inflammation, and improving overall wellness. Baked in Colorado's treats are infused with premium, full-spectrum CBD oil, meaning your pet will benefit from the whole plant extract. Not only that, but Baked in Colorado's treats are made with all-natural human-grade ingredients, so you can feel good about what you're giving your pet. They're also free from wheat, corn, and soy, making them a great option for dogs with food sensitivities. Baked in Colorado's CBD-infused dog treats are the perfect way to support your pet's health and well-being. With various flavors, including peanut butter, pumpkin, and bacon, your dog will love them too. So why wait? Head to www.bakedincolorado.com today and order your dog a bag of these delicious and nutritious treats. Your pet will thank you for it.
And finally today, our dumb criminal of the day. An Oklahoma man is facing an indecent exposure charge after allegedly using AirDrop to send some photos of himself to employees at a real estate firm where he was applying for an apartment. That's one way to break the ice and see what's going on. What are you doing later, I guess, right? Anyway, police allege that Mr. Stajek Helm used the AirDrop feature on his phone earlier in the month to transmit photos of his genitalia in front of a mirror. Investigators described the alleged offense as indecent exposure via digital means. Now, while Helm was apparently filling out the application to reside there, two workers received the airdrop notifications on their phone. Needless to say, they were curious. So what did they do? They accepted the airdropped acceptance, only to discover the pictures. Mr. Helm was arrested and booked into the county jail on felony counts, later released on a $2,000 bond, and he's due back in court on June 20th. Yes, just like you don't burn your apartment building down, don't send pictures of your junk to, well, people that didn't ask for it. And even then, just don't do that. Just don't do that. All right, thanks for watching. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.